Psalm chapter 57, and it's great to be here in church this evening. Psalm 57, we're good?
All right, good. Thanks for being here. Thanks for the song, ladies. I enjoyed that. Wonderful. That was a great song. And it's good to be here tonight. We came jetting across, jetting up, whatever the roads are, all the different highways. And we made it. We left a little bit late. And that's kind of the routine. I don't know why, but we left a little bit late. And then we stopped to get a cheesesteak in Philadelphia, and that took a little while, and so we stopped there, and then we just kept rolling along, and we let Rebecca drive. Isn't that amazing? Now, I had total confidence. My wife was a little nervous. Now, I'll say this, I sat in the back seat. My wife sat in the front seat, so that's probably why, but My wife started to give her some instruction, and she said, "That's okay. It's just like my mom. My mom does the same thing." And she did great. She did great drive. Hit the rumble strips every once in a while just to wake everybody up, you know? Get that, just to make sure we were. But she drove and did a great job with it. And I didn't give her any warning. Excuse me. I have a cough that I cannot shake, and it just comes out. So I'm not trying to be rude every couple of seconds when I'm coughing in the mic. You have to put up with it. But we finished a class at the end of class at 10:50 this morning, and she was in the back. I said, told the kids, pray. And so anyway, just she got ready real quick and threw her stuff in the car and made the trip with everybody. And I know you just got rid of her at the beginning of the week, but she's back. It's like a bad dream, right? And I'm only kidding. That's not nice. But we are so glad to be here. Rocky is here. He's in the car. The car is running. If you don't know who Rocky is, he's our dog who thinks he's a person. And he's not a person, but we don't want to tell him that because it would hurt his feelings. But he is here, and we're glad to be here. And I like all these guys sitting on the front and these girls taking up the front too. That's good. But all the knuckleheads right up front, that's good stuff. And I prayed with Nathaniel, and so that was good. Wait, what you're talking about, Brother Russo, appreciated that. And young people talking to the Lord, and you teenagers, glad you're here, and we're excited about youth rally. Can you believe it's time for youth rally again? My goodness. And the years just click by, and you need to pray tomorrow. Some of these kids go to public school, and they're going to have to either try to leave school early or right after school and run and catch their bus and van or car, whatever it is that's bringing them. And some of these folks, are amazing how far they drive for a one-night youth rally. And so let's pray. God gives them good safety and travel, and that they'll all be able to be here tonight, tomorrow night. And then, as Preacher Russo said, let's pray that the presence of the Lord is here. And we're looking forward to that. Now, y'all are hosting it, so you got to be friendly. And I say this every year, but you got to be nice to the people that come. And you're doing a great job. My goodness, the auditorium looks fantastic for whoever did all the work. Great job with that. And it'll be exciting. Tomorrow, the kids will show up, but we need the Lord to show up. And all of you that have your work to do, let me thank you beforehand for the work you'll do in greeting people and parking their cars and helping them all find their seats and feeding them. I'm assuming we're feeding them, right? Is that what normal routine? Are we pretty much putting the bags in the hands and all that good stuff? All right. So thanks to everybody who will be putting those together. And those of you who are supporting it financially, appreciate that. And just through the day tomorrow, just try to think about praying for what we need to see have happen. There's always unsaved kids that'll be here, so let's pray that the unsaved get saved, and let's pray for the saved to get what it is that God wants for them to have. And then obviously for all the adults here and the young children, although you're not teenagers, God has something for you. And just pray and ask the Lord to help me, if you would, please, that God would guide me into what to preach tomorrow. All of you that get to sing tomorrow night, sing your heart out, sing loud, don't be nervous about the other teens that'll be here, just sing your guts out. out, and that'll always work, and that'll be good. And you adults that'll be here, some of you are used to being around the teens, some of you maybe not so much. Don't be scared of them. They won't bite, most of them. You just be friendly and get up in their space, and they'll be okay. And if they don't say a whole lot back, don't take it personal, but just reach out and make a difference and take an interest, and the Lord will work, and we just want to see God do something great. Everything in New Jersey is going well. For those of you that care anything about New Jersey, we're doing fine there. Thank you for anybody that prays for us. We're just trying to do the same thing you're trying to do and see people saved. We got a lot of people trying to get out of New Jersey because it's so expensive to live. And we have the property taxes and stuff are outrageous. We've got a little bedroom, three bedroom, one bathroom house, and we pay almost $8,000 for property tax per year. And some of you say, I pay $800. I know. That's why they're trying to move to your, well, actually, New York's not a whole lot better, right? Y'all got to pay for all that mess in the city down there. So I was there this week, let me tell you. Manhattan's hurting. But anyway, people are moving out of Jersey. Everyone wants to go south. But, you know, they'd miss out on snow and ice and all that. I was in San Diego on Sunday, and I got off the plane. I thought, do these people realize what they have? I mean, 73 degrees on Sunday, and I preached to Brother Fisher's last Sunday. Some of you know Brother Fisher. He's a great man. His son-in-law, Kirk Harrell, was ordained, and I was privileged to be part of that service. Brother Fisher's a good man. And so anyway, so we are here in balmy New York State, and looking forward to what God's going to do. No snow on the forecast for tomorrow night, so thank the Lord. We'll be good as long as we don't have some snow that shows up out of nowhere. Psalm 57, and some of you have had a long day working, and tomorrow's an exciting day. I believe we're having school chapel. Is that right, Brother Russo? Was that announced already? All right, good. And I'll be here whatever time we're having that and be hanging out with the young people in the morning. So pray for that if you would. Any of you adults want to slip in, I'm assuming that's okay. Get past security, right? And so pray for that the Lord would do something tomorrow and in chapel, that it would be a good time and that God would help us. Psalm 57. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you give us something, and I pray that you'd stir our hearts. I thank you for a church family that is faithful. And I thank you for a church family that is interested in helping young people. And for a church family that still believes in prayer and the power of prayer. And God, I pray that you would hear our prayers. And Lord, in this moment right now, I pray that you'd stir every single heart and give us exactly what we need. And we pray in Jesus' precious and holy and wonderful name. Amen. Now, it's already 7:51. So we're not going to go all night long. But I'm going to preach just a little bit. Everybody okay with that? Are you hungry? How many of you missed dinner to be here for church? Some of you did? All right. I asked the wrong question. I said, are you hungry? And all the boys' hands started to go up. All right. What I should have said, did you skip dinner to be here? But I won't preach all night, but I do want to try to get something from the Bible that would help all of us. How many of you need some help tonight? You need some help? Tell the person next to you, say, you need help. That's the truth. And if you're married, say back to your husband, say, you're right, because I married you. I need some help. And Psalm 57, notice here, David, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing from the cave. Would you look in Psalm 57 and right underneath of the word Psalm and the number 57, probably most of you have in your Bible marked, where it talks about David when he fled from Saul in the cave. Fled from Saul in the cave. It's interesting. If you've ever been to the Judean wilderness, it's not a pretty place. It's very stark. It's really desert. And rough. And there's a lot of caves there. And David was on the run from King Saul. Now, that's not what he had ever thought would happen, because he was anointed by Samuel. He played the harp for Saul. And he killed Goliath. And yet, here it was, Saul was chasing him and trying to take him out, trying to kill him, trying to get rid of him. David hadn't done one thing wrong, but he was dealing with this man, Saul, who was trying to literally take his life. And it's in that situation, when David was on the run, that he ended up in the cave. And some think it may have been at En Gedi. And some of you have been there, and that place where David had cut off part of Saul's robe when Saul had come into the very cave that David was in. Not sure, but at some place in the Judean wilderness, while on the run from King Saul, David, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is given these words. So let's look at them tonight. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Now, when you think about calamities, you see sometimes video of where a tsunami comes. If you ever watch it, it's hard not to watch them because it's amazing to see the power of the ocean. And you'll see where people are just going through life, a typical day in the neighborhood, and all of a sudden there's some earthquake somewhere out in the ocean, and the water rises up as one big giant wave and just comes and goes right over the beach area and goes inland and just starts wiping out everything in its path. And you ever seen the result of that? It's just shocking to see what a tsunami will do. Sometimes you'll hear of a hurricane, and the hurricane will make landfall, and it'll come in the wind and the rain, and it'll just tear everything up in its path. Sometimes a tornado will land and come down on some little town, and all of a sudden everything's just blown to pieces. And a calamity would be some extreme event, and it just takes you by surprise. And here's David. He thought he was doing the right thing in killing Goliath. And he thought he was doing the right thing in serving God. And all of a sudden, he's sitting there playing the instrument for Saul. And a javelin goes whizzing by his head. Toom! And it sticks in the wall and rattles. And here it was trying to get rid of David. David hadn't done anything wrong to Saul. He'd been nothing but a blessing. But David was dealing with a problem. A calamity, a difficulty. You know, in all of our lives, there's times when we go through problems, right? We have problems. Sometimes it's physical problems. Sometimes, and dealing with, for instance, cancer. And at our staff meeting this morning, 7 a.m., and we were meeting there, and a man on the staff, his mother-in-law, who's already been through cancer, now there's signs of more cancer. And happen to go through that. Some of you live with different medical problems that you deal with. My wife has MS. We don't talk about it a whole lot, but she deals with that. And thank the Lord it's not more severe at this point. There's a whole lot of people that have a lot worse cases, but it's something she deals with and has to take the medicines for it. And sometimes it's a physical problem. Sometimes it's a problem in our minds, a mental problem. And I don't mean that to be joking tonight. But something where the devil will attack our minds sometimes, and he'll try to bring about a lot of confusion. And sometimes it's just our own thoughts, sometimes just what we have going on in life. Back in the American Revolution, the muskets, they'd pull trigger on those and the black powder smoke would go up. And they'd have that going on all over the battlefield and the big cannons. And there'd be a literal cloud of smoke. And it would go over the whole battlefield and you couldn't see. And it's called the fog of war. And the only way you can do is get down real, real low and hug the ground, because you couldn't tell who the enemy was and where the musket fire and cannons were coming from. And it just becomes very scary and confusing. And sometimes in life, we deal with problems in the mind where our thoughts just aren't as clear and we're not sure what to do. And there's problems in our mind, mental problems. Sometimes it's an emotional thing. Sometimes we have discouragement. And discouragement is when there's a loss of heart. And boy, we just don't feel right. Sometimes people call it getting the blues. And just, you know, can't even explain why, but you just don't in your spirit have that same joy and happiness as maybe you used to have. And you can have that discouragement, that loss of heart. Sometimes it's a depression. it can become very extreme where we have a loss of hope. And it just seems as if we're in some hopeless type situation. And we deal with that in our spirit. And we don't always put a big sign around our neck that says, I feel depressed or I feel discouraged. We come into church, we shake hands, we sing the songs as we're so used to do. And oftentimes continue in our ministry. And I'm preaching here tonight to the core church family. And sometimes even young people, teenagers in particular, can go through a discouragement time or a depression time. And that does happen. Even with teens. And sometimes emotionally, we are just dealing with some calamity. And sometimes it's a social thing, where in our relationships, it could be problems in a marriage. It could be a child who's a prodigal. It could be at the workplace where our boss and then working for the man in charge that he's come down hard on us. Or it could be our coworkers that come after us because we're Christians. And sometimes it's school and kids with kids. There's sometimes a strain in relationships and problems. And sometimes kids feel lonely even within a crowd and don't have the friendships that they like to have. And sometimes it's a social thing. Sometimes it's just because we're saved and the lost world's lost. And we deal with some of the problems that occur because of that. Sometimes it's a financial problem. Right? Sometimes somebody loses a job and they didn't see it coming. Sometimes there's a demotion based on we've got to make cuts at the company. And sometimes it's just because maybe we made a mistake financially and kind of get ourselves buried and got to deal with the pressure of that. Finance is the number one cause for divorce, which is amazing. But it happens. And there's that pressure of financial problems that goes on sometimes. Sometimes it's a spiritual problem. And what I mean by that is, again, this is a core church where you can be in church and still not feel right. It's just not feeling right. You hear the preaching and boy, you think, yep, that's true. And that's what it ought to be. And I know factually that's the truth about God. But in your spirit, things just don't feel right. Sometimes you can read the Bible and it just feels like it's not speaking the way that it used to. You can pray and sometimes the heavens feel as if it's brass. And you go through a spiritual tough time. Calamities. And here David was in his moment and he's having this battle. And here's what verse 2 says, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. I like you to mark that statement if it's your habit to mark or underline in your Bible. Notice those three words, God that performeth. God that performeth. It's a description of God. It's a name for God. It's a description of who our God is and in this sense of what God does. He's God that performeth. Now, what that means is this. God that performeth is the God who's able to finish what He started. Everybody stay with me now. He's the God that's able to finish what He's started. He's the God that's, watch me on this, able to do whatever it is that needs done or doing. It's the God who is able to accomplish His purposes. So here's David. And he knew God had started something in his life because he had been anointed. Do you remember when Samuel came and anointed him? And he was told by the prophet that he would become the next king. And so he knew God had started something in his life. But now he's in the cave. And it's hard while in the cave to really understand what's going on. And yet David knew God had started something. And now he starts to talk about how even though he's got the calamities, he's got a God that performeth. And I like to remind everybody here tonight that our God in the heaven has not lost us off the radar. Saul couldn't find David, but God knew where David was. And sometimes in life, while we're going through, we're dealing with calamities that sometimes make us feel as if, I don't know if I'm going to make it. But there's a God in heaven who does know your name, who does know your address, who does know what's going on in your heart, that does know what's going on in your life. And that God who has started something is able to perform it in your life. He's able to accomplish it in your life. He's able to do whatever it is that needs done in your life. Our God is alive and well. And even in the cave, when you're dealing with calamity, our God is still the God that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He's the creator God. He's the sustainer God. He's the Alpha and the Omega God. He's the Almighty God. He's the beginning and the ending God. He's the chief cornerstone. He's compassionate God. He's the door. He's the deliverer. He's the day spring. He's the day star. He's the everlasting God, eternal God. He's excellent God. He's faithful God. He's Father God. He's forgiving God. He's good God. He's great God. He's gracious God. He's holy, holy, holy God. He is the I Am. He is just. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. Come on now, sure He is. He's merciful. He's majestic. He's the Master. He never changes. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's pure. He's perfect. He's powerful. He's real. He's righteous. He's our Redeemer. He's the Rock. He's sure. He's strong. Come on. He's true. He's unlimited. He's the unction. He's the verily, verily. He's the Victor. He's the Way. He's wonderful. He's worthy, worthy, worthy. I'm not speaking of Buddha. I'm not speaking of Allah. I'm not speaking of the Hindu gods, thousands of them. I'm not talking about some made-up thing like pantheism where you go and worship nature and worship a tree. No, no, we've got a loving Father, and He's not lost you when you're in the cave, and He knows where you're at during the calamity, and what He started, He's going to finish, and He hasn't forgotten, and He's with you, and He's with this church, and He's with your family. Come on now. That's our God. And David could not see that someday he actually would be on the throne. By right now in this story, he's speaking of the God that performeth by faith. How did he demonstrate his faith? Let's look at it. Verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. Here's how we saw what David did, verse 2. He said this, I will cry unto God. I will cry unto God. How did David show his faith in the God that performeth? He chose to pray and cry to God. I will cry unto God. Let me ask you a question. Are you crying unto God? You say, man, I got this problem. Here's what we do. We wait and we go to God as a last resort. God should not be our last resort. God should be our first priority. Come on now. Our God should not be the one after we've tried everything we can do. Well, I guess I'll try God. Let me encourage you. If you're in the cave and if you're dealing with calamity, you need to learn how to cry. Cry out to God. Hey, listen, our God answers prayer. And we've got to get the prayer burden, Preacher Russo, like you talked about tonight. We've got to get the prayer burden to cry out to God when we're dealing with our burdens and our problems. And, oh, by the way, can we try not to be selfish? Yeah. Tell the person next to you right now, say, try not to be selfish, please. You say, what do you mean by that? Because here's what happens. When we have problems, we want everybody to pray for us. But what about when other people have problems? Aren't we selfish in our prayer lives? Well, we got a problem. I mean, we stub our toe. We start crying unto God, right? Don't cuss, cry to God, all right? You all right? You're doing well. Front row Baptist. Listen, we're supposed to be crying out to God when other people have their calamities. When other people have their problems. Prayer requests get mentioned. Sometimes it's in one ear and out the other. But we ought to carry the burden. And we need to cry out to God when we're dealing with our problems. So verse 1, he cries out for mercy. Listen, I'm glad I don't get what I deserve. Come on now, and aren't you? We ought to all split hell wide open right now. Thank God we're not going to hell. Cry to God for mercy. You say, I don't think I can deal with it anymore. Cry to God for mercy. And he said, notice, my soul trusteth in thee. Cry out to God with some hopefulness, with some worship. And then he said this, until these calamities be overpassed. Listen, there will come a day when the calamity will be overpassed. I like my dad's statement. Whatever you're going through, you're going through. Did you hear that? I'm trying to give the right voice inflection so you catch it. Whatever you're going through, you're going through. Now, even if it ultimately means that we don't get out of the cave till we get to heaven, heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace, and it's real. By death, by rapture, we're going to that place. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. Hey, don't drive your tent stakes down too deeply. We're just here for a few moments. And whatever calamity that you're dealing with, whatever cave dwelling time you're having, just remember the God that performeth is going to bring us through our problems. God knows what's going on. And we need to cry out to God. Notice his faith in verse 3 continued with understanding. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. You say, how bad was it for David? Well, keep reading here. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah, God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. Notice how he describes it. Makes you think of 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is a what? Roaring lion. Do you see this? My soul is among lions. And I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Boy, oh boy, he's dealing with it. 6, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, and in the midst whereof they are falling themselves, Selah. David's dealing with these problems. He's dealing with his cave time. He's dealing with his calamity. And you know what he chose to do? He said, I'm going to cry unto God. Have you been praying? Have you been praying? I don't think I'm going to make it. You will if you cry out to God. You'll make it. So, we see his faith. I'm preaching too long. Y'all ready? 8:11. I'm trying to move it. Here we go. Here's what he did. He cried unto God as proof of his belief in the God that performeth. Not only that, but he believed God's truth. He believed God's truth. Notice verse 3, the last statement. God shall send forth his mercy and his what? Truth. Are you there? Verse 3, the last two words. His what? Truth. Jump to verse 10. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens. Help me now. Verse 10, second statement. Ready? And thy truth unto the clouds. Thy truth. Now, watch this. I want you to physically watch. Look, here's what we have. The Word of God. Aren't you glad for the Bible? This is an old school church. We're still King James maniacs around here. I saw Savior there with the King James spelling of Savior. And it made me think, come on now. We got the King James old school. We're old school, fanatical. Come on, right? Inspired, perfectly preserved Word of God without mistake or error. Amen and amen. Let's not lose that for sure, right? Here's what it is. Thy word is truth. All right, front row Baptists, get your Bibles up. Let's see. Hold them up in the air. Get a little radical here. Come on, get your Bibles up. Come on, dude, where's your Bible? Let's go. Hold it up. Let's go. Hold it up. Let's go. Get it up. Get it up. All right, good. That's the radicals. The Bible is the Word of God. Here, put it up. Put it up. Say it together out loud, front row. The Bible is the Word of God. Ready? All right, now that was a little wimpy. Stand up. Let's go. All right, let's go. Get them up. Get them up. Get them up. Come on, get them up. I want to hear it. Come, get your man voices on here. Let's go. You ready? You ready? On the count of three, the Bible is the Word of God. Ready? 1, 2, 3. All right, now I want you one more like you're yelling at your sister, all right? I want you to crank it, all right? You ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
The Bible is the Word of God.
All right, good. I knew we'd get it on the sister thing. Yeah. There we go. Now, listen, the Bible is the Word of God. You know what that means? The Bible is true.
Yes, sir.
But Charlie, how am I going to believe in the God that performeth. Get your nose in the book.
Yes.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you're in the cave, get in the book. Sure. Why? Because the Bible builds our faith. And the Bible will give us hope when we feel hopeless. And the Bible will give us courage when we fear, when we feel fearful. Feel. You like that? When you feel fearful. Tongue twister. Right? Come on. What's your favorite tongue twister? Say bad blood. All you kids, bad blood. 10 times as fast as you can. Ready? Bad blood. Wait. You're messing up. You're not getting it done. Yes. All right. Come on. All right. You ready? Here you go. Ready? You're going to say toy boat 10 times as fast as you can. Ready? Y'all a bunch of dummies. Come on now. Terrible. Now listen. When you are fearful, go to the book. Go to the book. For a prayer promise, for a scripture promise, for something that helps you to know and understand that God has not lost you off the radar, that God knows where you're at in the cave, that you're going to be able to make it through your calamity, that you're going to be able to find clarity in the midst of confusion. You say, why? Because of the Word of God. And it's what helps us. So, David was somebody that believed the truth of the Word of God. David is somebody that took prayer as real and spoke it out. Notice one more thing David did here, and then we'll finish up. One more thing David did that shows his belief in God, that showed his heart for God. Excuse me, verse 7. And if you're there, would you read it together out loud with me? Ready? My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will complain and make... No, it doesn't say I will complain. It didn't say that. No, he didn't say I will complain. Verse 7, in the midst of it, he said, help me, I will sing. And what? Help me, church. Give praise. Absolutely. Awake up my glory. Awake up my glory. The idea would be, listen, when you're in the cave, it's easy to lose your song. But here's what he said, awake up my glory, awake psaltery and harp. You know what the harp was, Brother Russo? It's his best instrument. It's the one he played. Come on, it's the one that he said, you know what? It's time for me to get my harp out. I myself will awake early. It's the idea of, I'm going to start my day, I'm going to get my harp out, I'm going to play my instrument, I'm going to find my song. Verse 9, I love this, first statement together out loud, help me church, ready? I might praise thee. No. I'll think about praising. I'll wait till I'm out of the cave. No. It did not say, I'm going to wait till I'm out of the cave. It's while in the cave. He said, my heart is fixed. And he said this, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. That's the people that were favorable. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Ultimately, in having victory over the Philistines and with the heathen, he was still going to praise God. Verse 11, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. And here's what David's saying. Listen, I've got cave dwelling time here. I've got the problem going on here. It's cloudy. I just can't see it all. I can't figure it all out. But here's what I know I can do. I can cry out to my God. I can pray. And in the midst of the cave dwelling time, I know this. I can believe God's truth. David was a lover of the Word of God. And he could believe God's truth. Now listen, he didn't even have all the New Testament verses that we have. Now he had some great things and God gave him by inspiration of the Holy Spirit the Psalms. But thank God, listen, we've got the whole thing. We got 66 books. We can go to the old, we can go to the new, and we can go to the truth of the Word of God. And when it seems like we just can't go on, we can go to that Bible and it shows we can keep going on. So we're going to go to God in prayer and we're going to go ahead and get in our Bible. And then here's what we're going to do. We're just going to go ahead and praise and worship God. While in the cave, Brother Charlie, I just can't. Oh, yes, you can. Come on now. Okay. Well, how do you know that? I can do all things. Come on. I can do what? Help me, church. All things. Through who? through Christ. Your sign out there says triumph in Christ. We don't triumph in Clark, we triumph in Christ. And you can triumph, you can have the victory, but you just got to get it in your heart and in your mind. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go to my praising God for what? For what He's done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. It's a good thing to be saved. It's a good thing to live in the greatest nation on earth. I'm glad for the food for my stomach, come on now, clothes for my back, vehicle I ride in. I'm glad for my heater. Sure. I'm glad. Listen, I'm glad to be in an independent Bible-believing Baptist church tonight. I'm no better than anybody else, but I am blessed. It's good to be saved. I'm glad I have a wife that loves me. I'm glad we have a dog, and the dog loves me. Even driving today, he wanted to sit on my lap. Come on now. And, I've got three daughters. I've got all the blessings of God. Well, you know, this is wrong or that's wrong. Yeah, but there's a whole lot more right than there is wrong. So we ought to praise God and thank Him for what He's done. We ought to worship Him for who He is. Come on. God is awesome. Help me say it together. Ready? God is awesome. Now don't say it like a deadhead. Say it with some oomph. Are you ready? Help me now. God is awesome. Sure He is. We already took a few moments to try and describe God just a little bit. But you get into your Bible, you discover God. There's no God like our God. He is awesome. And He didn't say, praise me when you feel like it. Praise Him when it's easy. No, no. Psalm 145, David said, every day will I bless thee. You know the number one command in the Word of God is to praise God? No. Stop making excuses and start making changes. Come on. The number one command in the Word of God, most repeated, is praise God. Praise God. You're to praise God. It's a command. Well, you know, I praise God when it's going well. No. You praise God in the cave. Well, how do you do it? On purpose. My heart is fixed. Here's how Job said it. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Come on. I'm trying to convince a cave dweller tonight. I'm trying to convince with the help of the Holy Spirit. Somebody, you feel like the calamity just, you just like, come on, confusion, cloudy, fog of war. You know, how are we going to, well, but it's 2018. The country's getting crazy. What are we going to do? We're going to have the Christmas truck extravaganza. Is that what it was called? What word did you use? No, you don't. What word did he use? Spectacle. Extravaganza spectacle. What are we going to do? Well, you know, boy, I'll tell you what, it's getting bad around here in town. A lot of lost people. You know what they need? The spectacle of a bunch of crazy independent Baptists singing for Jesus. You know, there might just be somebody that's achieved the American dream that still has an empty spot. There might be somebody that was cold towards the gospel 2 weeks ago, but just got diagnosed this week with cancer, and all of a sudden their world got flipped. And it might just be somebody sees the joy of Jesus Christ coming out of you for something that they do need, because there's an empty spot in their heart. Because you can have the whole world and be as empty as it can be. You can achieve the American dream and understand things don't satisfy. But thank God we're getting to serve God in 2018. Well, you know, boy, well, I guess we have to go to the parade. No, we get to go to the parade. And don't be there after 4 because the roads are going to close. Are you there? Come on now. Well, I'm going to go 4. We're going to stand there. We're just going to stand by the truck. No, you're going to go smile at the person in front of your line and behind you. Come on now. Because they already think it's the nuts from the cult down there at that house in the church. Those people that go on Thursday night once a year, Wednesday night the rest of the year. Bunch of radicalized, crazy people. They look a little bit different. They smile a little bit weird. What's up with that crowd? Why don't you go up to somebody who doesn't know Christ? Come on now. Talk to them about how nice their float looks. Come on. It's not as nice as the spectacle, but it's nice, you know. And we get out there and we interact because they think we're crazy. Hey, we're not crazy. We have Christ. And Christ is what they need. So we need to come. Oh, I just got so many problems. Hey, you're not going to hell.
Yeah, come on.
Right? You're not going to hell. Yeah, but I got calamity. You think they don't? They've got calamity and they're lost. Yeah. and they don't know Jesus, and they don't have the truth of the Word of God to get them through, and they don't know to cry out to God. And here it is, you're there, and in that moment, well, you know, we don't see lots of people saved. Maybe we're not Church of Philadelphia, Church of the Open Door. Maybe we're Laodicea, maybe we're in the gleaning stage. But let me just say this, it still makes news in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, and it might be a kid or a teen or an adult that ultimately comes in here, but when somebody gets saved, although they didn't pull the news trucks up here and put it on the news in Rochester, that makes news in heaven that one's been repentant. And you need to stop walking around just thinking about your calamity and start thinking about how other people need Christ. Come on. Teenagers come in here tomorrow night. They don't need to see a bunch of people with your chin dragging. Come on. Well, but Charlie, we've been through it. Yeah, but what you're going through, you're going through.
Amen.
And the God that performeth is still able.
Yes, sir.
I close my Bible. Brother Russo, can I have 6 minutes?
Yeah.
That'll be 8:30. I'll go 5 minutes and we'll have a 1 minute invitation. And that way you get done and do choir practice. Ready? Youth rally. They only let me in here once a year. So that's, y'all are, listen, go quickly. Quickly, quickly, quickly. How quickly? Luke chapter 1, sword drill style. Let's go. Drop them Bibles. Ready? Go. No prizes, no points. Sorry. Luke chapter 1. Here's Mary minding her own business, and the angel comes and says, you're going to have a baby. Excuse me? One little problem with that. Time out. How is that going to happen? Well, that's a problem. But here's what God said in Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So that was her hopefulness. Excuse me. Jump over to 47. And my spirit hath rejoiced. I'm sorry. Jump to 45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a what? Performance. Are you there? There shall be a what? Performance of those things. What are those things? It would profit about in Isaiah 57:2 that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. And in chapter 2 and verse 10, here's what the Bible's, Jesus is born in chapter 2, and it's amazing that the performance occurred. You say, what's the performance? The virgin birth occurred. And God did that for Mary. Go quickly, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Remember Abraham? Abraham, you're going to have a seed. It's going to become ultimately where the Messiah descends from out of. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, 4:20, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And God did. Well, that's nice for Abraham, and that's nice for Mary, and that's nice for David. But you know, Bible characters were spiritual superheroes. That only happened in their day. I've not had the angel Gabriel come to me, and I didn't have God speak to me directly. But go back to what I did say. You do have the Word of God. And check what Peter said. It's a more sure word of prophecy. It was even more real to him than what he saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. Some of you are tracking what I'm saying. Some of you need to hear what I'm preaching right now. You need to believe for you. But Charlie, give me a verse. All right, Philippians 1. You there? Philippians chapter 1. Come on, sword drill style. Philippians 1. And here's what the Bible says. In verse 6. Being confident. How can I be confident? I'm in the cave. How can I be confident? I have calamity. Being confident of this very thing. That he, God, which hath begun a good work in you, might perform it. That's not what it said. Could perform it. That's not what it said. He which hath begun a good work in you, talk to me, church, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Here's what this means. What God started in your life, he's going to finish. What God's been doing, it's going to get done. That God who's up in heaven right now and sees right into your cave of your heart and knows what's going on with your calamity, he's not dead, he's not weak, he's not sick, he doesn't have a headache, and he started something in you, he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Would you tonight choose to be like David and say, I'm going to trust in the God that performeth. He's begun a good work in me. He's going to perform it. I'm going to believe it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cry out to God. I'm going to go to the truth of the Word of God. And I'm just going to go ahead and worship and praise my God on purpose. Why don't you do that tonight? And if you know somebody's in the cave dealing with calamity, why don't you be somebody that learns how to weep with them that weep and help them to rejoice and help them to come to a place where they can have their faith in our great God. Let's stand. Altar's open. Preacher Russo, you come. And let's have prayer time. If God spoke to your heart, would you come right now? And maybe you want to bring your family. Maybe you want to bring your wife. Maybe, well, but if I go down there, people will think that I think that I'm in the cave and I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. Oh, stop. Come down here and pray. Swallow your pride. Junk your pride. Well, I got problems. Nobody even knows. You talked about discouragement, depression. You may as well call my name. But nobody knows. Okay, God knows. Come down here and talk to God. Let's get help tonight from God so that we can help some teenagers tomorrow. So we can help the parade people on Sunday. Come on. Don't just look at your problems and let them overwhelm you. Believe God on purpose. Tell Him right now, God, I'm going to praise You in my best way, my best instrument. I'm going to believe Your book. I'm spending more time in the Bible and I'm going to cry out.